Blog Talk Radio.
This is Leadership Radio. Leadership Radio is sponsored by Cox Business Consulting. This is Tom on Leadership.
And I'm Tom Cox, your host for Tom on Leadership here on Leadership Radio. We're doing a special tonight outside the normal rotation. It is Monday night, not Friday morning. And we're doing another unusual thing, and that is four guests jam-packed in, shoulder to shoulder, 15 minutes each to get as much out of them as we possibly can. And the topic is procrastination. And I've decided to do this special on procrastination because, much to my surprise, of all of the shows we've done for the past 6 months and more, the number one top-rated, most listened to show in the archives has been the one on procrastination. And I've worked that into some of the present. And Dr. Alban is so accomplished that her short bio covers two pages. And I've only got 14 and a half minutes to get to the meat of her presentation. So I'm going to say, Dr. Alban, we are very honored to have you on. I'm a big believer in dialectical behavior therapy and cognitive behavior therapy. And I can't begin to say how thrilled I am that you're batting cleanup for us. Tell us, what's a successful fix to procrastination look like?
Well, I want to say thank you for having me on the show, and I'm very happy to be here.
You're very welcome.
But the bottom line when you're addressing people who have procrastination issues is that it boils down to an inability to focus on or to change self-control behaviors and a set of thoughts that really come along with self-defeating self-efficacy and increasing anxiety at the same time, which translate into a set of avoidance cognitions and behavior patterns. So you're really dealing with two things where they're living with these self-defeating thoughts that's formulating, that's making them more anxious, and as that anxiety increases, they're less likely to follow through with the behavior, so it becomes a self-perpetuating cycle.
Okay, so I've got self-defeating thoughts that help feed anxiety. The anxiety helps trigger behaviors or habits that are counterproductive. And, of course, I'm sure that's going to help feed the self-defeating thoughts and the anxiety all over again.
Absolutely. So,
ouch.
And what people make the mistake of thinking about is that performance is a function of ability and motivation. So what ends up happening when you don't perform, especially with the clients that I work with, when they don't perform up to speed, because they're usually very high achieving, you know, they have high goals, the clients that I work with. So when they don't perform up to their expected level, they start focusing on their ability, which lowers their confidence, and they forget about the motivation component, where they're forgetting that motivation is really, you're talking about effort. And so rather than focus on getting oriented and getting task focused and task moving, they start really undermining their self-confidence, their ability to do anything, and that leads to a set of thoughts, well, this is hopeless, why bother, I don't feel like doing it, now I'm not in a good mood, and I'll do it later when I'm better, in a better position, I'll do it better when I'm at my best, when my attention is sharpest, when my concentration is there, when I have better energy, and, you know, they're waiting for that perfect opportunity to become compliant and get on board, and obviously you see where that goes.
Well, or at least they're telling themselves that they're waiting for everything to be just right. And, you know, well, and here's what I've experienced both directly and, you know, vicariously through folks I've worked with, is there's that anxiety and tension, and then when you make this sort of empty promise to yourself that, yeah, but, you know, when everything's all lined up, then I'll get to it, that there's this very slight but perceptible reduction in the anxiety. It's very temporary, but it's there. And that slight reduction is such, so nice compared to the height of the anxiety that you want to do it again. And your brain wants to reach for something that'll reduce the stress hormones a little bit. And so you reach for the empty promise again. And pretty soon that becomes the easy thing to do.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a very, very perceptive observation that you're revealing, that because you're noticing what your body is doing is responding to simply operant conditioning. So it becomes a self-reinforcing, self-rewarding behavior. So it keeps you hooked into that behavior, partially because you don't know when that reward is going to come. So eventually you'll stumble on a thought, that an avoidance thought or behavior that will distract you enough or give you a good enough reason not to do what you set out to do, and that will give you that feeling that you're talking about. So the other component of it is that you don't know when you'll stumble on that magical thought that will give you that relief. So that keeps the cycle going even stronger.
This sounds like a trap. And, and of course, for serious procrastinators, it's exactly what it feels like. They feel trapped. And I'm thinking, wow, how do I get out of my trap?
Well, the first thing that you do is we identify if there is an anxiety-related disorder where people are having panic attacks or a conditioned response of anxiety where just by the sheer act of procrastinating over time, now when you sit down at your desk, regardless of what you're doing, are you feeling tension and anxiety? Because that's only going to add to the anxiety response. Anxiety is like water. Once you pull it all together, you cannot differentiate it. So if you're sitting down and you're feeling anxious because that's where you've been feeling anxious for so long, it doesn't make a difference. It's still going to increase that anxiety. So you want to see address any comorbid anxieties that go along with that. We always work on teaching relaxation training. I'm a big believer of working with, I do a lot of biofeedback work where I teach people how to meditate or do breathing work to give them a feedback loop to see what their body is actually doing. So while they're engaging in the breathing exercise, they can see their heart rate slow down on the computer screen, and they can see the shift in their blood pressure and their cortisol levels and their sweat gland, and they see that happen. So I have them do that. Then we address what the cognitive patterns are. So some people will be perfectionistic, and that will be their theme that increases their anxiety and derails their ability. I think, you know, I mentioned that earlier, that pattern where people look at, they make a mistake of forgetting that performance is a function of two things, the ability that you have and your motivation / your effort. And
right.
So you want to identify, you know, what it is. And everyone has a sort of a different pattern, whether it's they're focusing on, you know, I'm too overwhelmed right now, I need to be perfect about it, so they're focusing more on the anxiety, or are they more the self-loathing type that's focusing on, it's hopeless now, I'll never get this done, why bother, I'm such a loser, and they're telling themselves those kind of thoughts. So you want to focus on what their negative pattern is in their pocket. And, you know, usually there are five main themes of thought that follow procrastinators. One is an overestimation of how much time they have left to do something. Okay. The other is underestimation of the time required to complete a task. Then you go in, those fall under the self-management category. The others fall under the more avoidance, self-efficacy thoughts, and motivational thoughts. So the others are something like, well, later I'll feel better. I'll have more energy later. So you get into people who are really fooling themselves about how much motivation they'll have. Or there is a lot of people who feel that there has to be emotional congruence in terms of what it takes to do the path with the project. So I should only study when I feel good. Otherwise, I won't retain any information. And then there are the other people that fall into the category that it has to be, you know, they really focus on their optimal performance, so they want to be perfectionistic about everything, so they'll only do things while it's optimal. So, you know, you want to identify where, you know, where their themes are. And then, you know, treatment-wise, you really want to focus on challenging those beliefs and having them come up with identifying alternative patterns that they can use to rule their life, so to speak. So usually what happens when people have a history of procrastination is they have a history of believing that there's one way to do something. So you want to get them off that. And by challenging their beliefs about that and saying, okay, well, here's some alternative ways to do that. And if your issue is that you've been poor estimation of time, well, how do you estimate time right now? Do you estimate time right now? And getting them to engage in a different way of doing that, and behaviorally, you know, having them set it down. I had a client tonight. I told her to when she finishes a task that she has to commit to the target time will she'll begin the next task. So if she finishes something at 9:07, she has to start it again on the quarter mark. So at 9:15, she has to be, no matter what she's doing, be at her desk doing the task that she said she will do. So that's just mm-hmm. the practice, her ability to estimate her time and what it will yeah. take her to do. It's also working on her impulse control, so she has to give up whatever she's doing in the middle. So she doesn't get lost in, you know, the procrastination or avoidance task where yeah. she's endlessly surfing the internet or watching movies or checking her personal email when she's supposed to be writing a report. So, you know, you want to break that cognitive habit by having them form a different mental pattern and a behavioral pattern that goes along with it.
Well, it sounds like things like self-control can be strengthened.
Absolutely. But the thing is, you have to be committed to want working on it. And most people assume that one day it'll just occur. And the thing is, yeah, like, oh yeah, one day I'll grow up and I'll just want to do that. So even
And then I'll ride off on my unicorn, sure.
Right. And even people who come to see me and they, you know, they hire me and they say, oh, you know, they identify problems. And they're still resistant to change, to make large change. So what you want to do at that point when you notice that is activate their leadership. And I use that to say to people, well, who do you want to be in your life? What are the central traits in your personality that you want to be? How do you see and define success, and not just success in the workplace, but success in the home or the social and the relationship place, everywhere. And how does that
Okay.
into it?
Yeah. Big picture goal, aspirational goal, something that will be inspiring to them. Because you have to motivate people based on their values.
Absolutely.
Hey, we've got just 60 seconds left. The time has been flying by. Dr. Alban, any closing thoughts from you on the material we've just covered?
Well, I think that, you know, leadership in yourself is a really big part of overcoming procrastination and actually overcoming anything that is an obstacle for you. One of my biggest beliefs in my practice and in my personal life is that you always want to work outside your comfort zone and push yourself a little bit further so you can discover more and experience more and live a richer, fuller, successful, healthier life. And I think that's really key to overcoming any bad habit.
I have to say that while the work of overcoming a bad habit is significant, it's a whole lot easier than overcoming some sort of permanent character trait that so many folks imagine is what's got them trapped in procrastination. So significant message of hope from you and the other guests. Big thanks to you, Dr. Albin. And you're actually, I think, the only guest whose book I don't have listed. Fortunately, your website, askthecognitivebehaviortherapist.com, is a great source. So big thanks to you, and big thanks to all of our guests. I'm Tom Cox, your host for Tom on Leadership. This is our special on procrastination. We'll be back to Friday mornings after this. So thank you, and tune in again.